Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through People's Internet Radio, and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what the stations are doing, please, if you can, reach into your pocket and throw a few dollars into the kitty. I know the people at the stations would really appreciate it. A lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, and any financial help would be greatly appreciated. Also, thanks to Steve and Robert. I'm going to thank them now for producing my show, because I always forget at the end. So thanks, Steve, for producing my shows. This man is absolutely the bomb. Today I've got Jürgen Wallrath in with me, and Jürgen is one of the gentlemen I really look forward to talking to. I've had quite a few conversations. I wouldn't be able to count them, but probably at least 10 good conversations with Jürgen on the radio in the past year, and I've been looking forward to the show a lot today. So welcome to the show, Jürgen. Always great to have you in here, bud.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Barry. And you know what? I think if you don't mind, I'd like to start your show with just a little thing that I dug up the other day. And it's just this quick little anecdote. Once upon a time, settlers came to the east coast of North America. They built big cities with ports on the coast. Some then traveled all the way to the west coast, where they built big cities with big ports. Many dropped off the various wagon trains and settled what is called the North American heartland. Some were given this land in Canada for free because it was frozen. We're not sure how it happened. Historians are puzzled as to the timing of the event. Was it a sudden turn or long-time infection? Was it the proximity to all the salt water? Some scientists believe it was the humidity, but whatever the reason, the question still remains. Why are both coasts so socialist? There you go. That's my little ditty.
That's a really, really good question, you know. But I would say that if your agenda was to bring socialism into society, you'd want to really control the ports of entry into that country. Because that's a trickle-down effect. So that would be my answer to that question.
There you go.
How did I do? Did I get a 5 or a 6 or 7?
That's a very good answer, because if you look at the world today, you'll notice that China has bought up most of the major ports.
Mm-hmm.
And what is China? A communist country. Right? So what do we have? We have a situation where we have a communist country taking over ports all over the world, and they're getting these ports for free because a lot of these countries owe them money and they can't pay them back. So they're saying, well, hey, take this port. You know, so and then now you try to figure out how the country where the Chinese own this port are going to keep their own security measures up when they bring in Chinese technology to control their security. If you look at it, it's mind-boggling, right?
That can't be, Jürgen. That would be a prime example of the fox guarding the hen house, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't you think that people would
see
something
like that? And you're
going to
trust the fox? You're going to trust the fox. Of course you are. I mean, it's like the snake to tell you he's not going to bite you. Let me into the house.
Yep.
You know, well, I mean, I shake my head at some of this stuff. You're going to really do. It's beyond anything that I thought I would see at this particular point. I've known for years now that, you know, there's an agenda going on, and that at one point they were going to really ramp it up. And I think we're at that point right now, because we have stuff coming at us so hard and so fast that it's actually got Canadians paying attention now.
Well, we're at that point, Barry, because they're being discovered for what they are. That's why we're at that point. They have to ramp it up to protect themselves. They're going to do whatever they can to keep their greedy hands on the corrupted dollars that they keep bringing into their coffers of their foundations and all of that. You know, we have a situation here in Canada again now. We have this Peter Nygaard guy. What is it, 10 rapes he's been accused of? This fashion designer? We have our own Jeffrey Epstein, ladies and gentlemen, just discovered this past week. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it's 10 ladies now that have accused this guy of rape. And whatever else, underage girls he's brought to an island. Another island. It's funny how these people all have islands.
Well, if you look into the history of the Epstein Island and look what was actually going on there and the records of flights and who actually attended that island, if people haven't looked into that, Jürgen, that alone would absolutely astound you. as to who was actually going to this island and what was going on there and what kind of people were actually dealing with in society. It's beyond dark, okay? To me, I don't have the words to describe what some of these people actually are here, outside of being a devil personified right from the pits of hell. I guess I don't know how else to describe people that are into doing what these people do. I mean, it's really hard for us as normal people to understand that. You know, because we consider ourselves to be, we love our children, we love other people, we don't want to see people hurt, we're not into sacrificing children and eating body parts and drinking blood and the sodomy that goes on at these events and everything else and the gay houses, all these connections, all these people that are really into deep and dark stuff all get together and have these parties. I mean, you look at the Bohemian Grove, and I studied that a lot. And, you know, I look at that and I go, well, if 50% of this is correct, there are some pretty crazy, crazy people in this world that are running our planet. Go ahead.
Now we have a prime minister that declared this country a post-national state. And I'm trying to get people aware to that fact, because it seems to me for the last 4 years, under the first 4 years of his dictatorship, nobody seems to give a crap that he turned this country into a post-national state. Right?
Why is that? Why is that, Jürgen? What is wrong with Canadians?
Well, I think the problem there is very fundamentally the fact that we don't have any right-wing media. We don't have any media that challenges the status quo establishment. We're not allowed to have that in this country any longer. They shut down Rebel News. They shut down the Sun News Network when they had a TV program, all of it. So where do we go for our news? Well, we only go to places where the government pays them to tell us what to think. So how do we have an option right for anything? And at the same time as he declares us a post-national state, he brings in the migration compact, makes deals with the UN. Look at him the last month. He's been gallivanting around giving money to all these African countries again for abortion and for women's rights, for gender studies, and all for this nonsense, while he tells us that there's no money for the troops, et cetera, et cetera. And you know all that. We know all that. All of us know that. But here's the thing, Barry. What are we going to do about it? Here's what people are trying to do. You got the rise of the PPC. You got the rise of Wexit. You've got all kinds of people trying to do things to change the course of this madness. Okay? But we cannot wait 4 years for another election and hope that the right guy gets elected in a different party playing the same game they've been playing forever. The only thing that we, the citizens, can do, and you're doing it. You've done it for a number of years, and I've known other people who do it. They don't pay their taxes. But here's the problem. You cannot pay your taxes and make your statement. That's great. But if we don't do it all together behind one single legal council that holds our money in escrow, we will not make any noise or make any changes. I believe it's time for a tax revolt. I've been looking for a lawyer. The last week I've been screaming the loudest I've ever screamed, because this is the year I want a freaking lawyer to stand up for my rights as a Canadian, because I'm not getting representation for my taxation. I did not pay to make my country disappear and become a post-national state. Period. It's that simple. And every Canadian should feel the same if you feel and care about your country. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Where are you, people?
Yeah, you know, that's a question I ask myself every day, that, you know, people, if you don't have to be a rocket scientist right now, you're to see what's going on in Canada. You don't have to be an intelligent person to any great degree to understand that everything that's going on right now in our country, what's going on in this government, is absolutely 100% global agenda to destroy everything that is great about Canada. And that's where we're heading right now. And it is accelerating, man. I mean, when we allow protest groups to shut down rail lines in Canada, I looked into the numbers on that, and Jody Craven's joining me for the second hour. He's in Kitimat. He's really in tight and watching everything that's going on with all these blockades, and talking to lots of First Nations people. But this is absolute ludicrous that the government hasn't stepped in already and put a stop to this. But the rule of law does not exist in this country anymore, Jürgen. And I didn't think I'd ever be able to say that in my lifetime, but the rule of law does not exist in this country anymore. And I challenge you to prove me wrong. Because if it did, Trudeau would be in jail right now for multiple criminal offenses that are just being brushed under the rug. And we could talk about numerous people that should be in jail right now for obvious criminal offenses in Canada, and yet we hear crickets.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Amazing Polly's latest video. I follow her a lot.
So she's awesome, man. She's awesome.
Very good. Her latest video explains the situation we're in terms of what you just talked about. There is, in a situation of violence, when you look at a situation, there is the victim and there is the victimizer, right? We are basically the witnesses. We don't have a say in the perpetrator of the act of violence or the victim. The victim either decides to defend himself or is a victim to whatever the victimizer does. Both of them have a say in what's going to happen in that interaction. The rest of us are forced to sit and witness without being able to do anything. And this is the psychological torture that we are under constantly, because they're constantly doing things that goes against the right thing in your head. For example, when a guy goes on a Greyhound bus and then cuts the head off another passenger and is released into the public 3 or 4 years later, your head goes, wait a minute, this isn't right. Right? That's
Barry.
Part of the psychological torture we're under on a daily basis,
Barry.
Because we're witness to this.
Barry.
Very sad.
Yes,
you've turned
yes,
everything
Steve.
Off, haven't you?
Huh?
You don't have anything up on your screen, do you?
On my screen, I have just you guys.
You don't have you don't have the chat up. You don't have
any of the chat now. Up. I haven't been looking at it. Okay. I see it now, yes. What's up, Steve?
Somebody's asked you to do something in the PIR chat.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have to scroll up to find it.
Okay. I'll have a look there when I can start. Hey, guys, sometimes I don't look in chat because you know what happens to me? If I'm looking at the chats and talking to a guy like Jurgen, I get completely lost. I got to be on my game just to keep up with his brain. So if I'm if I'm not in the chat and sometimes not answering your questions, it's because... yeah, I can't walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. I'll have a look here in a second. Yeah, we're in a real mess right now, and then of course we're going to be dealing with what I think is going to turn out. I've been following Frank Vaughn very closely. I got Frank coming in next week, folks.
Excellent.
And he's really going to hammer it home exactly what the potential of this carnal virus is and
yes.
Where to go. And I'm not a doomsdayer, Jurgen, but boy, I'll tell you, this has the potential to be very, very, very nasty.
And look how slack the Canadian government's been in reacting to all of this. And now I understand that they're going to be releasing the people into Cornwall rather than a situation that they fixed up in Trenton, Ontario for people. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on. All of a sudden, they're bringing people to Cornwall, Ontario, that have been stricken with this virus?
The government was almost standoffish on it there for about 10 days, and then all of a sudden, you hear that it's starting to do things to kind of pay attention to what's going on. Meanwhile, this virus is going around the planet. I'm looking at the numbers, and it has the potential to be a pandemic. That's a fact. Whether it goes there or not, I'm not going to say, but it has the potential to do that, especially if it's airborne. And all the information I'm getting on it right now, Jurgen's telling us that it is airborne, which makes it very, very hard to stop. Especially when it's looking at a 3 to 24, they say anywhere up to 24 days for an incubation period, you can be passing this disease to people anytime in that 3 to 24 day period and not even know you have the sickness, yet you're passing it on to other people. Which, of course, are going to have the same kind of results. They're going to have an incubation period. But this has the hallmarks of something that can spread, and they're not going to be able to stop it. Because how are you going to stop all that interaction? How are you going to track all the people you've had interaction with in the last 12 days? And who are they contacting with? Pretty scary scenario.
Yeah, they're already talking about medical shortages in the United States because of all the medicine that comes from China. Already we're talking about food shortages because of shutdowns at certain ports and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, this could be very serious. And I think as well as from a health perspective, economically and all of that, it could really damage a lot of things. We could see a lot of empty grocery stores.
And as soon as the word starts getting out that this has the potential to do something like that, you watch the run on food. Because yep. people will all of a sudden be going, hey, I think we better do something about that just in case, Martha. You know, there's a potential here to leave us in an ugly situation. A lot of people have done no preparing at all. I have done a little bit of preparing myself, Jürgen, so I'm not going to be put into that situation. But I also sat here in the last 5 or 6 years of my life telling myself that this kind of thing could happen. And it's always a good thing to have a little bit of preparation if you can. It really is.
Yeah, it's wise to do.
If you don't need it, you can always use it. But if you need it, you don't have it. It's like a firearm, man. A firearm is essential.
Exactly right. Yeah. We went stocking water the other day, drinking water. We're just stashing water all over the place. So, yeah, you got to be ahead of the game. Like you said, it's better to have and not need it than to not have it and want it and need it real bad, right?
Yeah, and I hate doomsdaying anything. I really do, but yeah. I have to look at things realistically. And I sit back, Jürgen, right now, and I look at everything that's going on and the potential of what it could do to society. I also been watching the amount of earthquakes that are going off and the abnormalities and earthquake patterns right now that they have never seen before. There's some really funky stuff going on in the planet right now, and it seems to be accelerating. You know, interesting times, man. I'm really watching the Cascadia, that there is activity on both ends of the Cascadia right now. And, boy, if that one ever goes, are we going to have an interesting bunch of videos to put up on YouTube?
Yeah.
This whole city being wiped out.
Certainly is an interesting time, and this virus, and you know, the trouble that we all have, I guess, is trying to disseminate the information that we're getting, because we're living in such an era of lies and deceits, especially coming from the mainstream media. So what can we believe? So it's good to see people like Frank out there, yourself, others, like we're all out there trying to dig and find and research and find the real truth. And, you know, when you're talking about that, just look at what's happened with Fukushima. Now they're talking about even throwing more water into the ocean. It's still going on, right? It's just absolutely unbelievable. They talk about CO2 and all this nonsense. And in April coming up, it's going to be what? It's going to be 9 years that plant has been leaking radioactive material into the Pacific Ocean. And now they're talking about a million or however many millions of liters that they have that they need to put in the ocean because all their tanks are getting overfilled.
And the bio-
Nobody even talks about that anymore.
Fukushima is only, you know, what people talk about. We don't hear about Fukushima here, and we don't.
But, I know.
We're only beginning to hear from Fukushima. This is what I'm telling people. Because the problems there are only building on top of each other right now. You just talked about the amount of water that they can't store anymore, that they have these storage facilities that are all starting to leak. When they when they provided these storage facilities for this highly radiated water, they were using tanks that had a 5-year shelf life. Yeah. A 5-year life Well, what's going to happen after 5 years? And how long, like you said, it's been 9 years since this event went on. And they do not have answers for any of the problems. It's just going to continue to do what it's doing right now, and they have no way of stopping it. They've lost the cores. Buildings are in trouble right now because the amount of rads that are inside the building, the effect that it is on the concrete. The building collapsed. They haven't got some of them. Still got fuel rods stored up in the ceiling. These GE Mark I generators, I'm not an expert on nuclear at all by any shape or form, but I did look into these GE Mark I generators, and they are the worst design ever conceived by man for a nuclear power station. The most dangerous design that you could possibly ever come up with is what these GE Mark I's are all about, and I think there's 28 of them operating right now on the planet Earth, and two of those are on the west coast of North America. So we have the same possible scenario happening here, but you know, if the Cascadia, those events happen, I don't want to get into that one because I get off subject, but we were talking about this virus, but if those events happen, we're all for a big surprise. But anyways, you're right about this virus. It's kind of like, what is really going on? Why has the Canadian government so lapsed about it? They weren't even for the first little bit there, and Rebel News was reporting on this, weren't isolating or screening people. They're just asking them quick questions as they came in from that particular area of the country, and this was, 3 weeks ago. What's going on with those people? You know, why would you do that if you were worried about your people in any shape or form? given the potential of this thing and what it's doing in China right now. It's hard to get all the information out of China right now. It really is. But Frank is kind of all over this, and I urge people to listen to what Frank's saying about this right now. He's really on top of it here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely strange times we're living in, and it seems to me we're under attack in so many ways. When you look at it, the discussion we're having here about Fukushima, we're talking about the coronavirus, and that's just, those are just physical things. We talk about the mental things as well that attack us on a daily basis, attacking our common sense, our sense of reason and logic is constantly being attacked. You're wondering, how come this happened and that happened? Why do they allow this? Why do they allow that? Because it's all part of the social engineering, right? It's all part of the control mechanism that gets us confused and puts us in a situation where eventually there's going to be chaos. They come along, control the chaos, and they can do whatever they want with us.
Well, it's a 40 or 50 year plan, dude.
Yeah.
What we see in society right now, it didn't happen overnight. It happens slowly, incrementally over a period of time. These people have sat down in think tanks 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and they have come up with exactly where society is today. And if you look at all the attacks that we're under, man, it's just it's mind-boggling. It really is. Whatever happened to just, you know, nature and nothing in our bodies except for what nature provided. But we've gotten so far away from that, it's unbelievable. We're the sixth people in the world now. We're the sixth people in the world, in North America. We lead the world. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's just great. We have a system where parents are no longer allowed time with their children. Work, 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 pay, 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 right? As they get indoctrinated into some kind of gender twilight zone that denies science.
Well, parents aren't even allowed to be parents anymore now.
No, I know.
That's against the law now. It's the state, buddy.
You can't be a parent. You're not allowed. Only the government's allowed to be a parent, and a kid is the government's property, period. That's the way it is.
Well, I've seen what they do in British Columbia here, and I've heard stories from people that have had their children taken away and the battle they've had to go through to try and get their children back from Child Protective Services once they got their hands on them. It's unbelievable that this stuff is going on in our society, but it is, and you never hear about it, Jürgen, until you actually get involved in something like that yourself, and then you really go, like, what the heck is going on in our society?
We spoke with a psychologist one time. Let me tell you this story while we're on this. I spoke to a psychologist one time. He worked for the Children's Aid Society in Ontario, and he was there for 20 years. And he told us at a circle of people that were gathered for the Sun News Network inaugural season in Muskoka, we all gathered and we met Ezra and Brian Lilly and all of that, a bunch of patriots got together. And this fellow told us that down in southern Ontario, in order to work in the Children's Aid Society or Child Protective Services, whatever it is, right, they were forced to take drugs. They had a choice of two different drugs to take, antidepressants that they had to take to get the job, because they were told the job is so strenuous and so mentally strenuous that you have to be on these antidepressants. That's why when you see these people interviewed from these child services, they seem to be lost in another land because they're forced to take these medications to work in the industry. And here's the other thing. He told us that if the child services go above a 99% failure rate, in other words, if they get better than 1% success, they lose funding.
Really?
He had to leave. He was mentally, he said, I had to leave. I can't take what's going on. And people don't understand that's how serious this is.
I've heard a little bit about what you're talking about, Jürgen, but nothing really surprises me. And you know, and I know, once you're on an antidepressant drug, man, I've seen firsthand what that does to people, Jürgen.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely, it's just hell on earth when they try to get off psychotropics. But they're designed that once they've got you on them, you're on them for life, because the withdrawals are almost unbearable. Some of the suicidal thoughts and the body pains. I had a girl here in New Remo that she wanted to get off these things a couple of years ago. And what we did, we went out and got her oil, really good oil. And we told her, we said, look, you know, all you're going to do every day is get up, take a lot of this, lay down, and you're going to go to sleep. Okay. But it's all good. And then as soon as you get up, you're going to take a whole bunch more and you're going to lay down and go to sleep. And she did that for, honestly, guys, she did that for about 5 days in a row. Didn't get up. Just kept herself completely, and her boyfriend helped her out with it, completely baked, you might say, on high-grade THC linden oil. And 5 days after she'd stopped, she kind of almost stopped it. And the withdrawal symptoms, she said, were almost non-existent. So THC, guys, I tell you, Jürgen, you know it, I know it, is one of the, cannabis is one of the best painkillers in the world. And they don't want us to know that. Yeah. And it has none of the side effects of opiates, man. None. But opiates are addictive, of course. That's why they use them. All about the money.
You look at the cannabis plant, and you look at things like hemp. I've been saying for years, we should have fields of hemp growing, and we should have the largest clothing industry making hemp clothes in the world. We could lead the world in manufacturing things out of hemp. We have so much land, right? And yet they
if we get going on hemp, we're going to go for the next half hour, because everything about it is a win-win, you know, if you look at the industrial use of hemp, and it's something that, you know, to me is just as important or even more important than the medicinal use of the plant, and the fact that it can do so much for our planet if we embrace it. And I've had many, many conversations about that on the air here, and it's something that we can embrace. It can really make a difference, and it will make a difference if we can embrace it. But of course, the government's going to push back against that so hard, because it represents a threat to everything that makes them money. The government doesn't care about you in any shape or form. It's the bottom line and the dollar. Also being able to control the masses. And they're doing that through massive amounts of chemicals, drugs, vaccines, what they're spraying in our skies. We don't even know what they're spraying in the skies anymore with nanotechnology, Jürgen. Isn't that a kind of a scary thought? They got technology now. They can actually spray stuff that we... I talked to Roger Landry, and anybody that's listened to my shows knows Roger. We've had conversations. And they can put radio transmitters into nanotechnology now.
Yeah,
I mean, make something so small that you can't see it. You could have it in your body. You wouldn't even know it. Then you start hearing about more Morgellons disease and all these other things we thought were crazy thoughts 4 or 5 years ago. Aren't so crazy anymore, buddy. What are they spraying?
That's exactly right. I've been asking that for a long time.
They spray like rats, man.
What are they spraying? I call it human pesticide, right? They're spraying human pesticide.
Well, we see it even up here in northern British Columbia. I see them spraying. And I'm just going, people, look, you know, that's not a jet vapor trail. You're seeing a chemical being sprayed in the sky. All the chemicals they're using, of course, are metal-based contaminants, metal-based products, and they're all going to end up on the surface of the earth. They're going to end up in our food. They're going to end up in our lungs. They're going to end up everywhere. Animals eating those grasses and those plants are all going to be saturated with these chemicals. They're going to be getting into our body no matter where you go and what you do. And now we're starting to see the effects of it. And it's just like, what's it going to take, folks, to get up and say, hey, Mr. Government official, all 175,000 of us are standing here demanding that this comes to an end, or we're going to have a little talk with you. That's where we got to get to, Jürgen. It's time in our society for civil disobedience, complete civil disobedience, in my term. And this taxation thing, buddy, I support you with that 100%, because that's what we need to do. We really do.
Yeah, we need to join together in doing that. We need to get behind one lawyer to do it. We can't do it individually because it doesn't make enough noise. It doesn't make the proper noise. It doesn't send the right message. It just says, okay, there's radicals in every country that don't pay their taxes. It doesn't say send the message that we refuse to pay the taxes because you're taking us in a direction that we don't want to go. And that's the message we need to deliver to these people. You're taking us to a place we did not elect you to take us to. Not only that, only a small minority of the country did elect you to do what you're doing. So for you to take this morally righteous stand that you're speaking for all Canadians every time you get up there and open your mouth is such a dishonor to every soldier that fought for this country, because he says things that dishonor every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Every time he opens his mouth.
Every time he opens his mouth. And the media is complicit. You know, I mean, it's just disgusting when you think that we are at a stage in our development as a society where you no longer elect the right person for the job because you believe that's the right guy because he's very smart and he's smarter than all the other guys he's running against. We have gone from that to electing the lesser of two evils. Now you tell me how much progress that is in a society that claims to be progressive.
Postmillennial just did an article on the election and some of the information that's coming out now about the actual election and how badly they're trying to come up with the actual documents. But the Postmillennial is a magazine that I follow and I read their articles. And to say that this election wasn't rigged, Jürgen, I think you would have to have your head in the sand.
Yeah.
That there was some very nefarious activities going on that day. And it only makes sense because my opinion, my consensus of what I heard across this country prior to the election, that everybody that I talked to in any circle of people wanted Trudeau out of there, that they were aware of what this guy is doing. And all of a sudden, he's back in there with a minority doing exactly what he was doing with his majority. I don't see any opposition from the minority saying things like, you know, what's going on here? Who's putting up the opposition? Well, we know none of them are because they're all on board with the Agenda 2030. All political parties in Canada are sold out to Agenda 2030, with the exception, in my opinion, of the PPC. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's the whole political scene. You see what's happening here with Wexit. You see PPC rising. You see people wanting to do something, right, because everyone's so fed up. So you see all these different things arising in Canada now. The problem with it all is that it's all right-wing libertarian folks who generally just want to be left alone, and we don't do the kumbaya thing. We don't do the things like the liberals do. They all stick together because they're all under the collective. We're all independent, so for us it's so much tougher to gain a kind of a unity. However, it is a very positive thing that I report that on the Wexit front here in Alberta, there is talks in the process of amalgamating a few provincial entities into one separatist movement. So if that does happen here in Alberta, I think things can change, you know, hopefully they can change rather quickly because we can then put a tremendous amount of pressure on Kenny. If Kenny doesn't move, then, boy, I'll tell you, the people here in Alberta, I think they're just about ready to get the pitchforks out.
Yeah, I've been hearing a little bit about that amalgamation possibility. And, you know, it makes sense to me that if you want your voice heard, then take the small factions and put them all under one banner. And, you know, a million voices will be heard. One or two, they'll shuffle underneath the rug. We're at a point now where we have to do that. And that's why I kind of really like this tax revolt. It, everybody in Canada that we're involved with it are absolutely with this government are looking for an answer and what we can really do to make a difference. Well, if 250 or 350,000 Canadians all stood behind this tax revolt, folks, it would have a major impact on the government. It would also get major news coverage. They would not be able to shovel it underneath the rug. And so it could have multiple benefits, a movement like this. And I'm kind of like the idea myself, man, because we're all at a breaking point now with this government. Literally.
Yeah, I see the tax thing as the only thing that could make an immediate, quick impact. Immediate. There's nothing else. The only other thing you're talking about is legislation, forming new parties, forming radical movements, whatever. To do something immediate, hey, we've got our taxes due April 30th, 2020. Let's say we all just don't pay them.
That would put the grinding halt on this government, wouldn't it?
Sure would. They can't do anything without our money, can they?
Well, what are they spending our money on, Jürgen? If that doesn't get people boiling what this government's been spending money on, it drives me nuts that we have Canadians sleeping on the streets and more all the time. I look at the suicide rates now amongst seniors because they can't live properly. And yet this government is just spending hundreds of millions of dollars on offshore crap that has nothing to do with Canada. And he just continues to ramp this up and nothing gets done about it. How do we stop that? The government's supposed to be a system of checks and balances. The government's supposed to listen to the concerns of the people. But they're not. Trudeau right now is a full-blown dictator. And that's how he's running this country. And it seems like he's getting away with murder, literally. The rule of law is gone in this country.
And he has no idea what benevolence is, and he has no concept of doing the right thing for the Canadian people. His only concept is to look after himself. his own and his own objectives to be a member of the UN on the Security Council, whatever the heck he wants with that United Nations that is the most disgusting entity on the planet, destroying lives and trying to make sure that we're all under one world government, all enslaved, paying taxes to them. And that's why I refuse to pay any more taxes. I am not paying taxes to the United Nations. I'm not paying taxes to a post-national state. I pay taxes to Canada. But if we're not Canada anymore, then why am I paying taxes here?
That's the message we better get out there. As simple as that. That's the message. And that's, you know, that's not being unpatriotic. That's not being somebody that doesn't want to support your country. I feel the same way. And I told the government, they've called me a couple times. And, you know, at this point, I don't really care. The only way you'd ever get money out of me is if you put me in jail and put me in a prison farm and make me do some labor that you could generate a buck out of. But besides that, you're never going to get a dollar out of me because I'm not going to support a government that I don't want to use the word I said to the lady on the phone. But, you know, I just made it quite clear to her where I stood. And I haven't heard from them now in about 3 years. So.
Well, that's good.
I don't care at this point. They're going to have to put me in jail because I'm not going to support them. You know, we've got to get to a point, I think, if we're going to talk the talk, we've got to walk the walk. And if enough of us start walking the walk, they won't be able to stop it. But it's going to take some Canadian with some guts to really get up and get involved and really put their heads on the chopping block.
But then it goes back, Barry, to... do you know that between the years of 1940 and the year 2000, that the Canadian public participated in elections at the rate of 73.3%? The rate of participation between the years 2000 and 2019 is 63%. We've dropped 10 percentage points in participation rate just in the first 19 years of this century in the voting process.
Why is that, Jürgen?
And you look at it this way. The way I look at it is you've got a media that has the country so complacent, they believe that everything is fine. Why should I vote for any change for anything? Because I'm living a good life. The press and the TV is telling me so. The programming is telling me that it's okay to live from month to month. I shouldn't stress about it. That's what they're being told. They're being told to live like the Simpsons, like Daddy is a big, stupid dummy. You know, Bart, the son is just this mischievous kid, and only the women are the bright ones in the family. We're changing all the family dynamics. We're changing all our education. We've morphed from a parliamentary democracy to a dictatorship in very tiny steps that the people haven't recognized, all done with a complicit media that tells people that they're content, and they believe it.
And the underlying factor in about 80% of what we see going on right now in our society, in my opinion, is an attack on the family unit. And that's a broad subject, but if you look at it and everything that is going on seems to be a direct attack on the family unit. Absolutely. We know that in society, the family, in history, if we look at history, and I'm not a historian, but I've looked at situations in the past where the family units have fallen apart in society. The Roman Empire is an example. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah are another example. It's historically proven that actually did happen. These situations where society became so demoralized that just about anything goes, and we're getting there now. I mean, you look at what's going on now as compared to when I was a kid, man. It blows my mind. It really did. I remember what things were like when I was a child, and that was like 50 years ago. And how much things have changed in that 50 years. And what was good then is bad now. What was bad then is now glamorized in our society. The trickle-down effect is the attack on the family. And the numbers speak for themselves as far as the situation in families in North America. Everything is about destabilizing that, including this insanity of gender identity. And that absolutely drives me crazy, that whole situation. But then if you look at who's funding these situations, if you look at the millionaires and the billionaires involved, guys like Tom Gill and other people that are involved, names, I can't pull them off the top of my head right now, but they're all billionaires that are involved in this, that pushing this agenda in society.
Oh, for sure. There's tons of money behind it, of course. And look at what Hollywood's doing. I mean, you look at all the Hollywood stars that are just these proud, virtue-signaling social justice warriors that come out and say, oh, look at me. I just got a baby from China, and I just got another baby from Africa. Look how compassionate I am. And to show my true compassion, I'm going to let my new baby, who's a boy, be a girl, and I'm going to let the other one be a girl who's a boy. And it's cool in those circles to do that. Imagine that.
Yeah, and then it's they bring in mutilation of your body to change your sex. And then you look at the effects of that on people after they've had it done, man. You look at these people that have had sexual changes in their body and hormone therapy and what happens to them after it's over 10 years later. It's unbelievable if you look at the number of suicides of these people that have had this hormone and these sex operations done to them, Jürgen. But they don't talk about that. Never is that mentioned. Never. Highest rate of suicide amongst youth groups is in that particular sector that have had this stuff done and are regretting it. Because your body's not meant to be a girl, whether you want it to be a girl or not. If it's a boy, it's a boy. But to me, there's only two genders, man, and nobody can convince me differently. Everything else is just a fabricated political situation to divide society and to get us where we are now. And it's really getting crazy. I mean, when you got drag queens going into public libraries and telling stories to 5 and 6 year old kids, if that had happened when I was growing up, my dad would be down at the library with a shotgun and he'd shoot them. You know, they would, Jürgen, because they wouldn't tolerate that for a second. But we're tolerating that now. We're allowing our children to be indoctrinated and programmed at that point in their lives, when they're the most impressionable in their lives is in that early age, and how they look at teachers. I remember when I grew up, Jürgen, I used to worship my teachers because I thought they were great, right? Well, the same mentality exists today. And if your teachers are teaching you nothing but crap, well, that's what you're going to get in kids' minds. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's quite the reversal of when we grew up. Actually, when you think about it, Barry, we should go back to reading, writing, and arithmetic and leave the rest of it out, right? I mean, you look at the left now, they have a complete denial of science unless it serves their purpose. And the only science that serves their purpose is manufactured science, where they can pay off the different bureaucracies to create the numbers that they need to push their agenda. You know, I mean, when you put, let's say, a thermometer in the middle of the equator, and then you tell the people through the media that this thermometer was in the Arctic and it shows how warm the planet's getting, you know the numbers are fudged in just about everything that we do and see and read and hear. Everything is fudged and everything is a lie and everything is a deception. And you know, more people need to take the darn red pill and find the truth out of all the madness that we're living under.
Well, you look at who controls the media, Jürgen. You know, all our media is controlled by basically 8 families that control everything that is put out on mainstream is exact replication of what you hear on every other mainstream station, that they're only allowed to put out what they're allowed to put out, and that is it. That's why situations like the rebel media, the rebel is actually gaining more and more support all the time, whether you like them or not. I listen to what they say because they're the only media outlet right now in Canada that is exposing this. And they're under attack in big, big ways. The government's going to come after them real hard. They're going to try and shut them down. I think, if anything, that is one of the last real outlets. Like I said, there is controversy with every situation in Canada with media. But I've listened to a lot of their reporters, and they're the only ones that are telling the truth right now, Jürgen, in my opinion.
I know. You can think what you want. There's a lot of bad stuff being said about Ezra Levant and all that. But still, the reporters that he's got working for him are on the right track. They tell us the right stories. They're giving us insight into the mess that is the reality that we're in, instead of the convoluted lies that we're getting from the CBC and the rest of them. I mean, it just doesn't stop. It's outrageous, the stuff we hear from those people. And it just doesn't stop. Trump bad, Orange Man bad, Orange Man bad. Trudeau gets away with murder. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And that's why, well, if you look at the surveys that are coming out about CBC and the actual listening audiences, there's nobody listening to them anymore, Jürgen. And you're seeing numbers going up in alternative, and that's why they're attacking alternative right now harder than I've ever seen before. And it's just going to get worse. They're going to come after even little guys like you and me. They're going to really make an effort to shut us down. I hope I get to see them one day, because if I don't, then I'm not doing something right.
Yeah.
Because I believe there's a point coming here real soon where they're even little guys like you and me, they're going to shut us up. And so until that does happen, we really got to try and make people aware of the urgency of what we're talking about. And I feel an urgency right now in this country. I'm really in fear for what's coming for my children and my grandchildren. We just got to get Canadians fully informed about what's going on. If people don't get mad at this point, then and they have the proper information in front of them, and they don't get mad, I really don't know what to say to people. I really don't know.
One of the things with all of us being angry, and we talked about a little earlier about all these people breaking off and forming these new parties and things such as Wexit. And let me tell the people out there right now about Wexit. And let me say one thing, okay, ladies and gentlemen, just so that you know the truth. They're going to spin all kinds of lies about us like they spinned about the Yellow Vest movement when I gave my speech a year and a half ago that has now reached over a million people. They're going to spin the lies that we're rednecks and that we're white supremacists and all this kind of stuff. Do not believe the rhetoric, okay? We are Wexit, and Wexit is not Quebec-style extortion separation. Wexit is not about separating from Canada. Wexit is about saving the heart and the soul of Canada that has been hijacked by those that favor socialism over the true entrepreneurship that made this country what it is, that made Canada great. Wexit is more of a movement to save Canada than it is a movement to separate from Canada. Every Canadian that believes in the values of the true Canadian spirit, of the entrepreneurship that drove the people to make this country what it was, is welcome in the new Wexit. It's a new frontier where we do not base our economics on gender specificity. We base it on real economics and mathematical numbers, where men are men, women are women, and you go to the bathroom that is right for you, not the one for the other. This is what we believe in here in Wexit. It's getting back to normal family standards, having programs to initiate to make the family the most important thing. If the mother wants to stay home, let's encourage it. Let's have tax programs in place that let the mother stay home and have as many babies as they like so we can have Canadian babies here on the prairies, because that's what we want to further our prosperity and the economic engine that is Canada. So when you listen to the rhetoric, when you listen to the CBC and CTV and all the pundits and all the talking heads and all those brilliant strategists, all the political leadership from the East, the West, the Kennys, the Trudeaus, every single one of them don't believe their lies. We're trying to save Canada, not leave it. Thank you.
Well, that was quite a statement, Jürgen.
That's how I feel, Barry. I'm still
honestly, Jürgen, I've been sitting on the fence as far as Wexit goes. I'm still looking at some things inside there that I won't talk about them in the air, but there's a few things I have found out about people involved that just kind of disturbed me a little bit. Maybe we could have a talk about that off the air, and maybe we could rectify that. And but you know what? Right now, Canadians, I can see why Wexit is really starting to gain attention, because we are getting to a breaking point in this country where we are not being heard by this government. This government is absolutely running rampant on us. There's nothing that this government is doing right now that Canadians approve of. So how do we have our voices heard? How do we stop it? And people are really at this point looking for answers. I see that. I see people talking to me, and the first thing I'll hear from them is that I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, you know what the best thing you can do is start educating your friends and neighbors. Start having conversations. And the idea of supporting the family, Jürgen, like I said a few minutes ago in the show, the destruction of the family unit, anytime that happens in any society in the past, and if you study history, you'll find out it's true that anytime the family unit has fallen apart, that society has fallen apart. Yep. And history repeats itself over and over again. We could make that same example with what the government's trying to do with the gun grab. Trying to disarm Canadians. Well, I can't find one example in the last 3,000 years of where a government disarmed their public and that government did not turn rogue on them. I'd like you to show me one example, folks. I challenge you, because I can't find. I looked into it, studied it. And if we allow this government to take our guns away, the next thing is this government will go rogue, because it's happened before, and history will always repeat itself. Always. unbelievable what's going on in this country right now, and it's just getting crazier by the minute, Jürgen.
Yeah,
it is.
That's why I say, you know, Canada is a fractured entity, and it has been for a long time. And having come from the East and seeing basically what's happened to the East, you know, when you talk about things like Wexit and all of that, I want to remind people, and this is a reality, okay? The map of this country has already changed. You think you look at a map of Canada and you see the provinces the way they're aligned? You think that's the reality of this country? Well, think again, because Eastern Ontario is now Western Quebec, and New Brunswick is an appendage of Quebec. So redraw Quebec. It's much bigger than it shows on the map of Canada, ladies and gentlemen, okay? And their influence is even greater than that. So when you talk about restructuring this country and you talk about the people of Wexit doing some kind of harm, it's the other way around. It's been happening to the rest of us from the other end of this country for a long, long time.
Yeah, now it's coming to a crescendo. It really is. Things are changing in this country very, very quickly.
And
one thing about it that I do see, though, is I see, for the first time, I can honestly say that I see people that didn't pay attention to this kind of stuff maybe 3, 4, or 5 years ago when they called me a nutcase talking about 9/11 and stuff like that are actually now starting to pay attention because it's starting to impact their lives. So we need that right now. We need people, everybody in Canada, everybody in the world, because it's not just Canada. It's happening everywhere. It's just a mirror image of what's going on in the rest of the world is what's going on in Canada. And we see the rest of the world standing up. We looked at what happened in Britain. I mean, we see the changes coming upstream and Poland and all these other countries now that are going conservative. Well, that needs to happen in this country. We need to get back to basic moral society. And we've gotten so far away from that. I don't know when it's going to stop, buddy. If we're going to hit bottom, well, are we there already? We're pretty darn close, in my opinion.
Well, I think I've mentioned it on your show before the last time I was on. I think the most important thing that people can do, the people that are listening here, that are Canadians, that are young, that are family members, whatever, young mothers, young fathers, you need to get involved in the education system. You need to run for the people that control the curriculums. You need to run for the school boards. You need to get these nasty people out of there that are drawing up curriculums that go against Mother Nature, that go against common sense, that go against our morality. We need these people out of our school boards. If you look at the worst case disaster in our country in terms of education is the Toronto District School Board. That place is the most communist entity in our country as far as I'm concerned. They're the leaders of the pack in the debauchery, the morality breakdown, all of it. If I was Premier Doug Ford with the strikes that are going on right now, I'd fire each and every one of them. They'd all be gone, and I'd start over again with teachers who care about the students and want to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic and basic sciences, and that's it. Home economics and learn how to run your life. Those are the things we should be teaching, not what these morons have put into the curriculums of schools all over North America and Western society in general, actually.
And it's just a very, very small percentage that are doing this, but they are funded by people with big, big pockets, folks.
Yeah.
And what Jürgen's saying, I grew up in Toronto, Jürgen. That's where my schooling was in downtown Toronto, is where I was brought up. And King George Public School in Toronto is where I went to school. Wow. And you know, back then, school was about geography and history. And boys were boys, and boys were always getting into trouble. I remember growing up, I was always getting into trouble.
Yeah.
That's what we did because we were boys. And now that is completely changed in our society. We're bringing forth a generation that is so confused, so mixed up, and so sick right from the beginning of their lives that it's really hard to get them to accept what we're talking about, where society needs to be based on a moral foundation. We're really getting away from that. So I hope that can change in the near future. If not, I believe our society eventually will collapse. We're down here to the last couple of minutes. Why don't you tell people where they can find you and, your station. And I know your page there. And we're going to have to get you in again in the near future for that.
Well, listen, Barry.
This conversation.
Thanks a lot for having me on again. I really appreciate it. I always enjoy our chats. I think they're very meaningful. We get a lot of stuff out that needs to be aired, and people need to know things before us old guys go, because they don't know what we know. And you know, the one thing I'd like to say, too, is that me personally, I give my opinions based on personal experience working in the Ottawa area with the federal government, having been with the Human Rights Institute of Canada as on the board of directors, having been on the board of directors of Canadians for Language Fairness, still a director at large for that organization. I was also spokesperson for them for a number of years. So I've given many speeches on Parliament Hill. Like I spoke with Mark Friesen the other day, accreditation means a lot. We're not saying things just based on what we've read. We're saying things based on real history and what has happened to us in real life. For example, my wife being infected with tainted blood in the tainted blood scandal, our store being robbed. So we've dealt with the judicial system. We had businesses in Ottawa, so we dealt with the federal government contracts. So we understand things of which we speak. We don't speak from empty heads. We speak from things of personal experience. And Barry, thank you so much for having me on here. I'm so glad to have this opportunity to let people know some of the things that I know, because, you know, if you dig deep enough, you can get a lot of stuff out of me, and that is buried that I wish I could come up with on a daily basis.
Yeah. It's called brain farts. It's called brain fart jargon, and we get them all the time now. But listen, it's always great having you in, my friend, and we'll do this again real quick, guys. In the next little while, we'll get Jürgen back in. I'm sure he'll oblige me if I say pretty please.
Okay. So, yeah, you can reach me at Against the Grain News You're Not Supposed to Know on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. You can also hit me up on Twitter at @Prairie_Patriot, @Prairie_Patriot. I guess that's what it is. I don't use it very much, but I'm there once in a while. I love to read the tweets from all these other people. So, anyways, Barry, thanks a lot. I'm going to head out, and next time I can't wait to be on again.
Okay, Jürgen, we'll do that real soon, promise. Okay, guys, right. I'm going to take a bathroom break here. I'll be back in a few minutes, and Jody Craven's in. Derek is coming in, Derek Story, and Wayne Peters, I believe, are going to join us in a roundtable conversation about some of the insanity going on in this great country of mine. Back in a few minutes. Welcome back to Second Hour, folks, and thanks again for Jürgen for coming in. Always enjoy my conversations with that man. Great source of information. And a true patriot who really cares about his country. I'm joined second hour here by Jody Craven. Jody was a PPC candidate for Kitimat, Skeena area here in the last federal election. And I'm also joined by Derek Story, whose site is Noble Savages. And I know a lot of people know Derek. And Wayne Peters. I believe that's your last name, Wayne. I hope I got it right. Who I just had the pleasure of meeting yesterday. First time I ever had a chance to talk to this guy. Was impressed with his articulation of speech. So I invited them both in for a kind of a round table today. We want to talk about the blockades that are going on in Canada. And I'm going to let Jody start on that, because it's something that we have been talking about quite a bit, and it's absolute insanity what's going on in our country right now and why this government is allowing us to go on. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jody.
Happy to be here.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about these people that are involved in these blockades. How many are actually First Nations people?
All I have to say is, oh my God, right? In my area, there's only two people that are the protesters, and then there's 26 other that are paid protesters.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know what the total population of the Western Witten group is, but when you look at 85% of them want this project and 15% of them don't, there might be, what, 45 people that don't want it out of the entire country? And then the rest of them are all socialists, communist socialists trying to push a communist revolution.
I even think the number is less than that. Because all the people I talk to, especially the ladies down in West, they're getting pushed around by these chiefs, and they're being bullied, right? And they're trying to strip their titles of the hereditary chiefs, just these four so-called chiefs, right? And, you know, we got a lot of paperwork that's going around, you know, that says people want this job.
really what this all boils down to is the Joneses and the Smiths in the neighborhood decided to have a family feud, and now we've got the whole country shut down.
What this comes down to is a very small group of people holding the country at ransom right now and shutting down our economy. We got 60 ships sitting off the west coast of British Columbia right now that can't get into ports. We have people that are losing millions and millions and millions of dollars because of this illegal blockade. We have courts that are issuing injunctions and no enforcement of those injunctions by our police. The rule of law is what's driving me nuts in this country right now, or the lack of rule of law.
Well, mob rule, right?
Go ahead.
What we have to do is we have to look at what's behind this. This isn't actually a squabble over a pipeline or anything else like that. Because if it was, there would be at some point some discussion of reason, some attempt at reasonable discussion or meaningful discussion. There is none of that. This is 100% a mainstream media endorsed socialist Marxist revolution. And we've seen statements by them throughout some of their social media as well. And I'm referring to the Extinction Rebellion specifically, where they are rallying their troops, believing that this is their time to overthrow capitalism in the West. That's what's driving this bus.
Yep.
And if I could add on to that, we have, that I have for documentation, 34 companies or so-called companies that are NGOs that are funded by the Americans, and how much money the Americans throw into these people that try to block all our oil, gas, so on, is $11.1 billion.
Yep.
So,
and how much of that, if you want to look at the Tides Foundation, look at their numbers, look at all these different foundations that are involved, and if you want to check it back to source, where does it all come back to? George Soros and his cronies.
Well, I did some digging online there, and I pulled up a GoFundMe that had like 400,000 or something like that. They're making a lot of money off this, these blockades.
Yeah, Tides, I got $515,000.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a lot of these guys.
I'm really happy this came up because this is the one thing that nobody's talking about. Everybody is talking about triage treatment on the wound, and nobody's looking at the cause of these wounds. And it is NGOs, absolutely, unequivocally, right across the board. Everything that's happening in Canada against our traditional values and ethics in Canada is all being driven and funded by NGOs. These guys are it's an organized mafia of there's no accountability and there's no insight into what these NGOs are doing. They have carte blanche reign. I'm pretty sure that for every NGO, there's somebody sitting in parliament that is there as a representative of their interests. And these are the guys that they take their answers from and to as to what's happening in Canada is the NGOs, not the little people.
Well, in my area, the Skeena Bulkley, the riding, the people voted an NDP person, Taylor Baccarat, and he worked for the Sierra Club. So what does that say? What does that say about our government? You know, what kind of government do we have in this country? We're letting the NGOs run our country.
And how did the NDP get elected up here, Jody? I have no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
But it's been going that way for years. I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I spent some time talking to somebody that works at Safeway now. Just as an example, a cashier at Safeway that is threatened for their job if they don't vote NDP. How do these things happen? How can this process be happening in Canada at every level with every party? This is another one of the major influences. We're seeing this playing out right now, again, with Unifor and gaining support or lack of blowback or pushback from any party because they support everybody that isn't conservative. This is the same union that openly declared war on conservatives in Canada pre-election. Right? So now these unions, and through our own experience, seeing some of these protests and rallies across the country, we're seeing these protests that are using minority and fringe groups like the Indigenous, like the LGBT, whatever you want to call them, crews, like the anarchists, like the Antifa. Socialism. These unions are feeding and propping these guys up. And now when the unions take action, who do we see propping up and supporting the unions and their movements and their directives across the country? You could have gone to any yellow vest protest across the country this summer and seen a flag from one union rep or another. And now who do you see supporting these efforts with the Extinction Rebellion and Unifor, but that same crowd? This is highly organized and well-funded, and it's way easier. We're not even seeing the beginning of the layers of the onion behind this. Nobody wants to talk, have the hard conversations about NGOs, unions, and government collusion. Lobbyists.
I know in our writing, you know, Barry knows as well, you know, we try to mention this all the time, and we get kept on getting shut down, right? No one want to, it almost feels like no one want to believe this was happening to Canada, you know? But now the truth's coming out slowly, and I hope people start opening their eyes.
Well, one of the reasons for that up here, Jody, is because this area is still kind of semi-prosperous right now with LNG and everything that's going on in Kitimat and what's going on in, you know, but with the port expansion and everything else, you know, it's all kind of sunny ways up here. People aren't really paying attention to it, but you know what? It can all change in the blink of an eye. And I know that some people now, like I said, in my general conversations with people, and I am in a heavy NDP kind of socialist community up here. People don't really want to believe that there's anything wrong in the country because everybody up here is still making good money. But the rest of the country is sharing that same prosperity, and it can change up here real quick. Major projects can be shut down in 24 hours if certain things happen in society, and we see some of those things kind of coming now, you know? How the society. So, crazy times we live in, gentlemen.
Well, I think, you know, anyone that, you know, is taking NGO money or associated with NGOs or taking American money, my personal opinion is that's treason. You know, they should all go to jail. Any of these paid protesters that aren't Canadian, you know, or whatever, they should be thrown in jail too. We have to make a stand, you know, whether they're, you know, what race they are or what title they hold, you know, they're against Canada, basically. They're against everything.
Well, my biggest question to be us right here right now is where and how do we get the rule of law back in Canada? Because if us guys sitting here, we figured this all out, you know, we can see what's going on. Well, are the police that stupid that they can't see what's going on and they realize that the law is being broken? The law is being broken in this country on multiple levels, and yet we hear crickets from the police. Where are they?
The question I have for you, Barry, is whose law is being broken? Are we still operating under what we assume is Canadian law, or are we already operating under post-national state United Nations law, of which we have no clue?
Well, that law is coming very quickly, and it's being implemented in our society right now, and Canadians are complacent to it. I mean, the fact that we're signing on to the United Nations mass immigration and their mass education programs, Trudeau's going to be flying to the Vatican here. I think it's in May when he's going to sign us on to the United Nations mass education pact. I mean, they've got their fingers in our society in ways right now that if we don't put a stop to it, they are going to dictate how our country is run. They're getting to that point right now, and they know how to manipulate society. There's no place in Canada at all. If it was up to me, I'd kick every one of them out tomorrow. Go ahead.
I kind of think that this is all part and parcel of the long game playbook, is this anarchy that we're seeing happen in Canada. It's absolutely 100% manufactured. And right now, Trudeau is out there campaigning for a UN Security Council seat to a bunch of the world's worst despots and human rights infringers on Earth. So he's talking to the best of the worst. Now, the only way he's going to garner their favor and get their vote is if he is equally as horrible as them. Those are his peers. He's looking for peer reviews in this election campaign that he's engaged in. So the only way that he's going to get their approval is if he is instilling in Canada exactly what they have in their post-national regimes. So this anarchy and this chaos that we're experiencing, I believe, is 100% manufactured, and it's a burgeoning and aspiring dictator's wet dream. He's going to get his chance to enforce martial law. We wouldn't give him the violence coming from the right, so they've had to use the left to create the violence to install the martial law, which at that point we are doing to fulfill the program for the post-national state, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with a lot of things you just said. What do you think about that, Jody? I'm going to add a comment to that.
Well, that part of it all falls under the umbrella of the Agenda 21-2030, how the United Nations wants basically, in a nutshell, control Canada, right? And we're going to be, I hate to say this, we're going to be the working slaves, and we're going to be the minority. We're going to have no say in our country. We're on a downhill battle, but we need more people to push back. It's just like you mentioned earlier, Barry, about something about the law, who's going to enforce the law. Someone sent me a text this morning, or a picture, says Trudeau says he can't order the RCMP to clear the tracks, but he could order them, the RCMP, to stand down on his investigation on himself.
Yeah.
So what kind of country, you know, it's just crazy right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the police are corrupt right to the core. The upper echelons of the RCMP, the police forces in this country, anybody that's following what's going on, we know they're corrupt, okay? It's how do we get the Canadian public to understand that we are falling into a police state right now, and we're really close to being there full-blown. Just look what's going on around us right now in Canada. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going to wake up, and all your freedoms could be taken away from you. I mean, martial law really could be a trigger point in Canada. And when we look at what a few other events that are going on, we ask ourselves, well, how could that happen in Canada? You know, we're a strong nation. We'll collapse the dollar and see what happens to this country in 24 or 48 hours. Or unleash this carnivirus in Canada. And all of a sudden put that into the equation. And what are you going to have? You're going to have a society that's upside down. Boom, in comes the government. Of course, out of chaos comes control. We got to be aware that there's nothing in their playbook that isn't in the playbook, period. Go ahead. My thoughts. That was a bit of a rant. Sorry, my thoughts. Go ahead.
people are equal terrorists. Right.
Sorry, we both waited. We both talked.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, these people are doing these protests and all that against Canada and the whole world. They're eco terrorists, right?
Absolutely.
It's just like me and Barry touched bases on this about Australia wildfires. You know, they're man made, and they had over 147 people arrested, but that doesn't make the mainstream news. Pardon me?
I think it was 182 altogether.
Over 180 people were arrested, but a complete media quash on it. No media reporting on who these people are.
And I think a lot of this we can absolutely lay at the feet of all of the MSM companies and news companies. Like you said earlier, there's only eight of them that control all of the news, around the world, basically. And it's not even about just lying. It's about misinformation that have the people so out of touch with reality of things, like these non-binding agreement terms, which are such a farce. The agreement, the people don't understand the fact that the agreement itself might be non-binding, but every law that these countries put into place to subjugate you in order to jump through the hoops of that non-binding agreement, those are absolutely binding laws. So this is how people have been lulled to sleep. Oh, it's non-binding. We can get out of that anytime. Well, no, can. Once they've written the laws to put all of us that object into jail and silence us, how are we ever going to get out of these non-binding laws? And that's an example of one example of how the media, with this rebellion here that we're seeing, we can basically call this a media and liberal endorsed communist revolution, because none of them are denouncing it. They are giving it credibility and legitimacy in how they use their terms, like standing in support across the country.
Solidarity.
Solidarity. The media and the liberals are enabling this and thereby promoting and endorsing this. And this is emboldening them. And this is going to escalate until Trudeau gets what he wants, martial law. That's the danger.
I believe peacekeepers coming. You had peacekeepers.
Yeah, I believe martial law is the end game, myself. I believe, like I said, there's many, many ways that that could happen in our society and what is going to happen when that is actually implemented. And the War Measures Act is read while we're into a lockdown situation. And what could happen at that point, who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of rabbit holes we could go down and look at and go, well, why is that happening? Why is this happening? But really, if you look at them all, they all kind of seem to be supporting the same end game, in my opinion. So it's nice to talk about it. We've got to talk about this kind of crazy stuff, you know, because sometimes, you know, I talk and people might think I'm sounding a little bit crazy, but I don't think I am, because you got to realize that we're dealing with people that aren't people, that there isn't anything that they won't do to propagate the end game. We're dealing with people that brought down buildings in New York that started the Second World War. I mean, they started the Vietnam War. They blew up the Maine and the Spanish War. I mean, if you look at what they've done in history, to say they're not going to follow that same agenda in the future, you'd have to have your head in the sand. I'm expecting myself a major false flag in the United States of America, because it would bring the American public back underneath their thumbs. It's worked in the past. Who's to say it's not going to happen again? Same thing in Canada. So things I like to talk about and thoughts I like to share.
What we're dealing with is people that have for generations been following a playbook that has them believing from the time they're born that they are a part of a bigger story, a bigger puzzle, bigger than the nations that they're born in. The grandfather started this process and your grandchildren will finish it. So they have these undying generational agendas of world domination by, and this isn't even a theory anymore. This is fact. So when you take a look at it, if 1% of the population is truly and purely evil, that means we've got 37,000 devils running around in Canada alone. Why is it so hard? Why is it such a stretch for people to believe things like this can't be happening?
Because they are mind-controlled and, like you said, lulled the street by their complacency in this country. Canadians are apathetic. We all... A general population want to believe, like you said, that everything's fine, that nothing really bad could ever happen. Sure, they're going to hear about this, they're going to hear about that, but everything will carry on as before. And you know, and I know, and anybody that really takes a look at this understands that that could change. In 24 to 48 hours, society could literally be turned upside down.
Absolutely.
That's because they control the money. When you control the money, you control what time you want society to collapse, that what time you want to bring this chaos, when you want to unleash this chaos in society, you control that time factor. And I've talked about that a lot of times on my show. I mean, these guys could collapse economies around the world in 24 to 48 hours, where your dollar, you can use it to go to the bathroom with, but that's all it's going to be good for. Well, what kind of effect would that have on society? My thoughts.
I think
somebody else want to add to that thought?
When you follow the money in the process, it's all, like you say, it's all part of that satanic world of life. We become this instant gratification society where we turn to our digital devices and we get that little hit of dopamine every 4 seconds that keeps us coming back to that programming device that we can't seem to break free of. And who controls our drug addiction of that dopamine, but whoever is pumping the money into the advertising and the propaganda and the tech, they're the ones that we can drop it. And it's generally not people like us that are doing that, right? So we become just like the mice in the maze, in the trained maze, every 4 seconds you'll get your little treat of dopamine from your favorite gadget, and you follow along, and you kind of might feel that things are a little bit out of place, but once you've got your dopamine hit and you're scrolling through your feeds again, completely being distracted and walled into that, you know, that complacency, this is where we're at.
Yeah. Hey, Jody, talking about those fires earlier, did you read those reports about the fires in British Columbia a couple of years ago? I didn't want to change subject here, but I want to get back to that one just for a minute. Because what happened in BC here, guys? Go ahead, Jody, for a sec.
Yeah, to touch bases on the BC fires, I know in 2018, we had 1.2 million hectares of forest fires that burnt down. And it all ties in to their global agenda 2030. And if we're such in a rush, I mean, if they had, hate to say it, half a brain, they'd be putting out these forest fires as soon as possible, because we only have 3 water bombers, right? They just let them, you know, so they could blame the climate emergency, the climate crisis, or whatever, right? But 1.2 million hectares of forest fire. But I just want to add one more thing here, Barry. There's a guy named Greg Knox of Skeena Wild. He admitted to the Senate in testimony that he received 70% of all the funding from the United States. You know, and just last year alone, he gave Tides $100,000 to Skeena Wild and all that. So why aren't the Canadians waking up to all this corrupt stuff? And, you know, it's beyond me to figure out this stuff.
Yeah, the only reason I wanted to bring up those fires is because the RCMP did an investigation into those fires in 2018, and 50%, they say, were done by arson. So what an effective weapon to bring society into a state of economics, of absolute economic disparity, because those fires in 2018 displaced thousands of British Columbians, burnt down a lot of houses, some of the worst fires we've seen, and 50% were set by arsons. Got to ask you who's out there and why they're doing this. Fort Mac was an incredible fire. I talked to one of the firefighters up there that worked on that fire, and he says he's never seen a fire act like that fire. And we know they got all kinds of little stuff that they can use that are deep rabbit holes to go down, like directed energy weapons and what they're spraying in our skies and these chemtrails, what kind of accelerants that are actually ending up in our trees, mercury and beryllium and strontium and potassium iodide are all accelerants, and they're spraying the stuff in our skies to deflect heat off the surface of the planet, but that all ends up in our forests, man. Then you wonder why our forests are burning like crazy.
Speaking about those forest fires, Barry, I flew over Fort Mac when it was happening. Then we also got word that the Russia offered their water bombers to us to put out the forest fires.
Yeah, and Trudeau ignored, and they denied the
Trudeau
request.
Trudeau said no, exactly.
Yeah, why?
Why? It's their agenda.
Exactly. You know. They wanted it burnt. Where's the biggest mosque in North America being built right now? Fort Mac, yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, no guys, to see there.
I spent 15 years as a firefighter, and I see this happening time and time again. I cried when I saw Fort Mac going down. This past summer, I saw my hometown high level being evacuated and in danger of burning down. I watched the fires in BC. I had friends that fought those fires in BC. Friends that went to Australia and fought those fires in Australia. And every part of this is criminal. And I'm not saying this to throw anybody else under the bus, but everything that has been happening in these fires is absolutely criminal. They have playbooks out on how to do this. This is not a new thing. As a teenager living up in remote in the north, this is going to offend some people, but I know and have been told time and time and time and time again that these fires were started so that they could have summer work for the reservations. You know, there's that this is where the ideas have come from. Now they're using these same tactics to drive us into the urban centers. They don't want us living rurally. They want it to be impossible and so difficult to live outside of the cities that we have no choice but to move into the cities, just as they did in France. You know, you can go and buy a castle in France for about $70,000 because nobody lives in the country. They've all been herded into the cities. They're doing the same thing here. And these fires, people are paying the price of their entire family history because of somebody else's agenda. And it's just criminal, and it's a global epidemic.
Yep, and if you just have to look at what they're trying to do with land restrictions and how they're trying to stop us from going on the land now. All these new laws that are coming out, where are they coming from? Who's driving this agenda? Well, it's all 2030 agenda. Everything we see going on is that agenda, period.
I would have liked to have seen somebody try and tell the Egyptians that they weren't allowed to take a vase full of water and store it for the future because it would be called hoarding. Canada has hoarding police now.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? We got more water than you'll ever see in your lifetime, and you got these new draconian laws coming in. Every one of them is part of this agenda. And yeah, compartmentalization of the public is kind of their number one focus. As you said earlier, once you've got people compartmentalized into cities, very easy to control that population as opposed to a population that's spread out over urban areas or over wild country. So we see that happening in British Columbia now, and people are starting to pay attention. I got people asking me, why all of a sudden are they putting up these signs that we're not allowed in this area anymore? We're not allowed in that area. What's going on with that? Well, it's coming, period. And we see it. You must see that now, Jody. You must have heard of a lot of this now, the restrictions they're trying to bring into British Columbia, to our back country, especially down in the Cariboo.
Well, that's another the Caribou thing. Even a change of subject, even the gun control, right? That they're suppressing our voice. It's hard to get all this stuff out of my head, Barry, because it's just too far to fathom this global, you know, agenda, United Nations 2030, you know, and people, you know, I just hope they start understanding what's going on in this country, right? We got 34 companies that are taking foreign funding. They should be kicked out of Canada. That's $11.1 billion. You know, and everybody that's associated with these people, even the people that are MPs or MLA, you know, try them as treason. You know, you got to fight for Canada back. Simple.
Well, we do. We all know that, and we're all looking for solutions to the problems. One of the things that Jürgen brought up in the first hour that really makes a lot of sense to me is a mass tax revolt against this government, period. And you know, we're looking for ways to make this government listen to what we have to say. If we organize something like that and we've got enough people involved, I think that would be a kind of a good thing to do. What do you guys think about that idea?
I
can't be one or two people. It can't be 10 or 20 people. It's got to be a mass of people that are willing to stand up and say we've got
a challenge that every group and organization that has tried to rally or to gain some sort of momentum or idea is almost instantly squashed. We've gotten to the point where we're with this learned helplessness and the incessant badgering and mob warfare in the digital space that we are paying. We're slaves in the real world because of our digital avatars right now. Mm-hmm. And that makes it really challenging for people to find the courage to stick it out once they become the focus of the rage. A perfect example of that is Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson this week. Police at her door, courts, lawyers, lawsuits. Why? Because she brought up a subject. Right. So now, one of these lefties, and it only takes one of them to hear this feed, to see this live stream or a recording of it, and anybody that suggests or wants to lead this is going to become that next target of mass disruption. And I can tell you through my own experience how this works, where I've had on where I put out a news article on my What's Up Canada Facebook page, and within 10 minutes, I had 300 assaults on my Facebook page.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Can get pretty bad. They are well organized, they are well networked, and they are way more complex than anybody. It's not just Antifa and some disillusioned university thugs. This is not what we're up against at all.
No, we're up against organized money that's bottomless pit of funding. And for a normal person to try and stand up against this, it's like you're almost banging your head against the wall now. We're almost at that point. I believe the only way we can to stem this right now is to get Canadians involved in mass. Otherwise, they're just going to brush it underneath the rug. And
Canadians
nothing's out of their own possibility. My thoughts.
Canadians
go ahead.
A little bit of courage. They're awake. They just don't know what to do. And until they do have something that they believe is a sound, solid solution, they're going to stay in hiding because they just don't have the courage, because the instant they stick their nose out, they get canceled and they're not going to get a job. They're going to lose the job they have. The wife's going to lose the job she's got. The kids are going to be attacked in school. Their life is going to be forever altered if they say anything. So until we have a viable solution that people believe is worth finding a little bit of courage for, I don't know what's going to happen.
Sad to say that we're at that point in our society, isn't it?
It is.
They've got us to this point already where the fear factor is so overwhelming in people that they're going to lose their jobs, that they're going to be attacked. Well, are we at that point now of no return? Almost sounds like it to me, but I don't want to say that. Go ahead.
I don't believe so yet, because right now we have a very small number of people that are inflicting this. All it does is going to take, and history has proven this time and time and time and time and time again, when we the people have had enough, they will win every single time. The only thing that's in question is what is the cost going to be?
Mm-hmm. What are you going to lose standing up?
Do we want to give up some social score now, or do we want to give up lives and stack up bodies later? Because either way, there's going to be a price to pay. And once communism is entrenched, we all know there's only one way out of that.
Yep. And unfortunately, I'm going to be in the line that's got the bullets coming myself, because I won't. I'm not going to die on my knees, buddy.
Here's something to think of. Just in Derek and myself's case here right now, if we were to say walk away from these microphones and cameras, stop doing what we were doing, and go and put out 1,000 resumes to ask for jobs, what is the first thing every prospective employer does? Is they go and look you up on social media. You Google search Derek Story or Wayne Peters. Do you think we will ever have a job again in our lives?
I think the same could be said for all of us.
Okay.
But you're correct. We shouldn't laugh about it, but you're correct.
The question is,
what do we do at this point? I mean, there's a lot of different ideas, and a lot of people are really starting to want to do something. People want to amalgamate. We really need to focus under one objective to make it effective, in my opinion.
I think in my area, just speaking for my area, I know we have to start getting out in springtime and start letting people aware we're here. Come join us. You know, we're not going back down. You know, it might give them more courage, more grit, and they shouldn't be afraid to use their voice. And right now, it's just the leftists are using their voice, you know, and there's a small group of us, Barry, that are pushing back, and our voices are being heard slowly. So I think the numbers will grow, and it's going to be a long fight, but I think we should prevail, right?
Well, we don't have a choice, do we, gents? We don't have a choice in this fight. If we lose this, we lose it all. Yep. And I think, I think about my kids, my grandchildren. And I look at what Canada gave me growing up as a child. And I grew up in a great country. I loved it. Never had any fears, never had any problems, had a great life, enjoyed the country. And now I look at what's coming from my children, my grandchildren, and this is something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. So to me, at my 65 years of age, there's nothing more important than I can do right now to make people aware or try and share our thoughts with people. I mean, people, we talk about the heart of a human being, man. We look at what's coming for our kids, and if people could really grasp what's coming, they would get active. They would be forced to get active because it's hell coming for our country in the future. And we don't want that for our children. Go ahead.
Hey, Barry. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Well,
here's something that I really would like people to think about for a second. And this is how I look at it. We have these people that call themselves indigenous saying that they are being horribly mistreated. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I 300 years ago, I had absolutely no control over what was happening anywhere in the world. You can pick any point in history and time, and you'll find somebody that was being genocided. But at this point in time in current history, my family, my generations, the before me, the six, seven of them, whatever there are, we only have one nation. We only have one Canada. I am Canadian, and I am Indigenous, too. We are all Indigenous. If we are born in Canada, we're Indigenous Canadians. And for these people to somehow hold it and lord it over our heads that because they are born in Canada with a slightly different skin tone, who is the racist ones? Who is committing genocide here actually?
That's a, you know, that's a controversial question, and that's a subject that, you know, I think about a lot. I don't consider myself to be a racist person, but I also know what the definition of discrimination is in the dictionary. And I've read it, mm-hmm. and I understand how it's defined. And I just, it's kind of a touchy subject to actually get into.
I understand
both sides of arguments, but in the same mouthful, I look at any division in a society that works to divide a society. However it's disguised in society, however that is brought forward into society, if it's a division that divides people, then it is what it is. It's discrimination.
This is my point, is that they are dividing. They are dividing us. They are the ones. I mean, I'm not a colonizer. How can I be called and labeled a colonizer? If I'm not Indigenous to Canada, what part of the world am I Indigenous to?
Yeah, well, I was born, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather were born in this country, so
exactly,
that makes me Indigenous to Canada. It's kind of a touchy subject because you'll get a lot of people pushing back. I get into a conversation like this with some people, and they call me racist. Well, I'm not a racist person. I just believe really that a society should treat everybody exactly the same. Whether nothing based on their background or the creed or religion.
It's those people. Why should I accept and tolerate and allow them to be racist against us and treat us differently? They were born exactly the same way we were, but they want to separate themselves. So they are monopolizing and weaponizing this so-called diversity, which is completely, completely suicide, right? It just makes no sense. You'll never have unity. You'll never have law or a nation playing identity politics. And this diversity experiment has gone so sideways. I don't know that with how we can get away from that at this point, because now the good of the one always the good of the nation.
Yeah, I agree. I have this conversation with a lot of people, and we ask ourselves, why is it one sector of society is raised up on a pedestal, and we have to pay for it because of background or race, creed, or religion? And to me, I don't care how it's described or how it's justified. To me, it is discrimination in our society. And it's meant to divide society. We have nations in our nations. We have people with laws that don't affect them because they're in a different situation than I am, but we're born in the same country. It's something I have a real hard time with, guys. What's your thoughts, Jody, on what we're talking about? And be honest, let's share your thoughts on this for a minute.
My thoughts, it's they're trying to divide Canada by whatever means. But if you're a nationalist, or if you're speaking the truth, or you're a realist in this country nowadays, they're labeling you as a racist. And that's wrong, right? All we're doing is trying to say the truth and fight for our country. You know, I don't see what color you are or what religious you are. I just see our country. So when I speak the truth, they're labeling me or my party or whatever racist. And that's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like Michelle Rampel. I see her videos all the time, and I see the other parties all the time. But Michelle Rampel making these videos pleading to the Canadian public, please support us. We need your money. I'm going to go to the House of Commons. We need your voice. We need, you know, to help us fight, right? She goes, we need your voice. This is what she's saying. So I replied back to her saying, you have a bigger voice than us. You're sitting in the House, so why don't you mention any of this stuff? And I gave her a list of Agenda 21, Wessex, so on, so on, and so on. And no reply back, right? So they're all in the take. That's all I have to say. NDP, you know, Liberals, the Green Party, you know, and half of the Conservatives.
Go ahead, Mike.
Part of the problem I see with that is, forgive me here for a second, is that we're trying to shoehorn and use a system that's 150 years old in a world that has it moves so fast that there's nothing within that 150 year old system that still works. I mean, it's like trying to race the McLaren F1 with a wagon and cart. This is how our political system is broken and flawed. And we until I believe we have a complete reset of Canada, we can't fix things because our country is so much different now, 150 years later, than when the population of Canada basically ended at where Toronto is now. So we're playing within the same playbook, and all of the established parties are within that same playbook. They can't operate outside of the box. They can't think outside of the box because they're locked into this system, and I don't know how to do a complete reset without pulling an Iceland.
That's a million-dollar question, my friend, and you're absolutely correct. The system will never work. The system that's in place right now will never work for us. It can't. It was never set up to work for us, ever.
Right.
And until we have a complete reset, but get people to engage in that. That kind of a movement is going to be a monumental task. I think it's going to take until something really happens serious in our society where everybody's affected by what is going on to get a majority of the population involved. That's what I see, but go ahead.
Or it might be a civil war, right?
Well, you know what? I honestly, guys, we cannot go to armed confrontation against the government. Because if we do, I swear to you, we will lose. Because if you don't think they've got little toys put away for that particular time, we know their technology is 10 years ahead of what we know, okay? At least 10 years ahead. And we know all the little toys that we know about now. So if we project that 10 years down the road, what kind of toys do they have in their little toolbox set aside for a time when society goes against them in armed confrontation? I think that would play right into their playbook, and I think that's something we have to avoid at all costs. I believe that numbers raising and getting ourselves involved at this point, we can still turn this around, but I don't believe the window of opportunity is that big anymore. I believe that window's going to close soon. We've got to get active.
Narrowing. It's closing fast. Yep.
It is closing fast, but it's still there. It isn't away from us yet, but it's going to be taken away. It's going to be taken away, folks. I swear. Go ahead.
Conflict, we're done. We're done in a heartbeat. We might feel big and brave and powerful. We've got 500 people locked up in the mountains, and they're all armed to the teeth. What they don't realize is there's a kid in Southern California sitting with a joystick that comes in there with a drone, and all 500 of you are gone in 3 seconds. There is no ability to fight a civil war in armed conflict. We have to use peace, and we have to come together as people, and we have to, and I think the only way that we're going to achieve this is by simplifying our arguments, dropping our pronouns, and saying, I'm Canadian of German descent, or I'm Canadian of Japanese descent. I am Canadian first. It's the only way we're going to be able to narrow down the focus enough to unite the people, because we're so regionally and culturally different that we've got to find one common thread.
I agree. We've got to realize that everything that we see, if somebody else wants to jump in, but you know, I could carry on this thought for a long time, because if we really sit back and we look at everything that's going on around us right now, they're trying to push us into armed confrontation. I mean, that's the end game. I honestly believe that's the end game. We see the same thing going on in the United States of America. And, you know, I do shows with Roger Landry. I don't know if you guys know Roger or not, but one guy that I really have a lot of respect for his opinion. And we sat and talked about directed energy weapons, and it says, Barry, if we knew what they had, if we really, really knew what we had, what they have put away, I think it would just really scare the living crap out of most people. And I believe that. So I keep saying to people, we cannot go to armed confrontation, that we've got to use the legal window that we still have, and people have to get involved. Because if we don't stop this, folks, it's honestly, I don't know how else to describe the future, but hell coming for our kids, and we'll all be on our knees, and we'll all be going, Heil Justin. Go ahead.
They don't even need those weapons, Barry. We're all walking around with one in our hands, and the Chinese in Hawaii and Mr. Trudeau are more than happy to arm them for them.
Well, now they're going to unleash 5G on society.
What kind of
effects that going to have with all the little particles that have been spraying in our sky that we don't know about?
There's weapons that
just turn society upside down. And they're lunatics. We're dealing with people that aren't people. They're psychotic, empty beings with black eyes. Go ahead.
that 5G discussion, that could take up another whole show.
It could be.
The applications and its possibilities, and even just some of the... this is something we've been digging into here for a little while now, and people that have been fighting against it for a while. And... If I had to narrow it down to the top concerns that I think we're facing in the world right now, as far as for hazards, 5G is one of them, even more hazardous to us than what the Extinction Rebellion is. And 5G and Mr. Bill Gates, man, those two people are going to end those two things, or that thing in that person, could be the end of civilization as we know it.
I think there's, you know what? I think there's multiple things that could end civilization right now, but I just pray that we don't see any of these things actually happen. But to say they don't exist, you'd have to have your head in the sand. I kind of get up every day, and if I see sunlight, I thank God that I'm alive for another day, because we are kind of, as a human race, we're sitting on a pinnacle. I mean, there's multiple things that could happen right now that would wipe us out, and that's not in my hands, unfortunately. I'm not in charge of that department. I don't have control over that. But to say that they don't exist, I think you'd be—you'd have to have your head in the sand, because we've created suicide on this planet in a lot of ways. Go ahead.
Yeah, but first we got to get these roadblocks down.
Yeah,
that's the number one thing right now. You know, get these down, expose all these people.
Martial law. If we don't defuse that, then they get to escalate their agenda.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't get to that point, guys. If martial law happens in our society, it could be a really, really bad day, because it could escalate. And once they got that kind of control over society, it might be tough for us to take a stand. All I'm going to say.
Did you guys see that video circling around the internet? They had the roadblock up. Then there was a citizen. He was taking it down. Then he got arrested.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I saw that video. Who are the police? Who are giving orders to the police? Who are the police working for? Where is the rule of law in Canada? Well, we know, and it's what we're up against right now, like we said earlier in the show, that the police forces are corrupted at the highest levels. Look with the commissioner of the RCMP, Lucky. Have a look at her background. Look who she's connected to and all her globalist connections and who was appointed to the head of the RCMP and who's standing down on all investigations criminal into Justin Trudeau. And why don't we hear about it? I tell you guys, the law is not for us anymore in this country, and it's just a long arm of the government right now. Go ahead.
I don't disagreeing with you, Barry, but I don't think all the cops are corrupt.
I don't think so either. You know what?
Yeah, I think
Jody, I think a lot of good cops there. I know there is. I'll say this real quick, Jody. I play hockey with a cop here in Terrace at Noonar, and I talked to him, and he's pulled me aside and told me right to my face that him and other members in his detachment, his words exactly, guys, I swear to you, told me they're disgusted with what they see going on in the upper level, management levels of the RCMP. But he says, here I am. I signed on to the RCMP for a job. I got family. I got kids. And the guy's a human being. I'm sitting talking to this guy. I'm talking to you guys right now. And he says, all my buddies at the detachment, we're going, what's going on up at the upper levels? Because they see it. And they're not, you're supposed to be the law, not break the law. Or enforce the government's wishes, and that's what the upper levels of the RCMP are doing. Yeah. It's all stand down orders to propagate this 2030 agenda. Go ahead, guys. I'll shut up.
How many policemen are committing suicide these days and are barely making the news? You got a cop goes right into his office in Ottawa. I pulled his brains out one the other day, parkade at the office. Why is it happening? These guys, they know, and their hands are tied, and this comes from above, and when you look at what the mainstream media is doing, not once have they interviewed anybody that is against this. All they've interviewed is protesters supporting other protesters supporting other protesters, and the government saying we're not going to do anything. They got to sort it out themselves. That's the only news that's coming out of mainstream media. So this is an endorsement for these people. This is propagating this stuff. So, without that, having the court of public opinion continuously being swayed in their favor, if this isn't a direct push from the highest levels to create this anarchy and chaos, anybody could stop this with any kind of authority in a heartbeat. Do the job. Follow the law as we understand it. It's over.
Yeah, I agree. We're down to the last 5 minutes, guys. We only got 4 minutes left on the show here. Jody, I'm going to start with you. Maybe tell people real quick what your plans are for the future here. I know you ran for the PPC in the last election, if you plan on doing that again. And then Derek and Wayne here, I'll let you guys quickly mention your site, and we'll have to shut the show out for the week. But it's been a pleasure having you guys on. Jody.
Jody. I'll go last then.
No, go ahead, Jody, real quick.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank Barry, for having me on again. I love the show. My future is I got a lot of offers to run provincial and another federal party, but I'm going to turn them down. I'm going to stay with PPC. We're going to do a lot of touring around our riding and doing a lot of public speaking and Q&As, just meeting people, getting the message out, and go PPC.
Cool. I'll be out there with you. Okay, and Derek and Wayne, real quick, you got a minute to tell people about your site and where they can find you?
You can find me on YouTube under Noble Savages, Derek's Story under Facebook, and Noble Savages under Twitter. And I'm on BitChute. And I'm trying to think of what other ones I'm on, but I can't really think of them. There's so many. But you can find me all there. And we're hoping to have more content out for everybody, too, coming up.
Hey, listen, I'm going to have you guys in again. I've really enjoyed this conversation with you guys, and I know we could go for a couple hours right now. We haven't touched the surface on so many issues right now we could be talking about. So I'm going to have to get you guys back in here in the very near future, and I hope you'll oblige me. I've enjoyed this show immensely.
I'll put the coin on you, and I'll bring you up over onto What's Up Canada, where we stream on Facebook, YouTube, BitChute, Minds, Subscribestar, and Twitter. You can find us on all of those platforms and more.
Awesome. Hey, guys, this has been a great show. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, Jody, again, for coming in, and thanks, Derek and Wayne, for joining me. Thanks, Jürgen, the first hour. I've enjoyed the show immensely today. And you know what, folks? You know, we talk about the same thing a lot over and over. Maybe it sounds like we talk about the same issues over and over and over again, but we're just trying to get through to people really how important this particular time in history is for us. And
to borrow the say it loud enough, often enough, it becomes the truth, and this is our job.
Well, we really are in a critical time. It's time for people to stand up, and I ask Canadian men to please that don't have them right now to stand up and grow some, because we really need you. We need Canadians to stand up right now. We're going to lose this country, and that's something I don't want to wish on anybody or anybody's future. Yeah, thanks for coming in, folks, this week. Thanks again to my guests. I'll be back next week again, same time, same place. I got Frank Vaughn coming in next week. And Vinny Eastwick. So look forward to next week's show, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all. Have a great week, and bye for now.
Thanks, Steve Roberts.